It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew as we continue to study this precious book, and we've been in the area of the what everybody calls the Lord's Prayer. And it's really a wonderful outline of how we're to pray and how we're to meditate and spend time with the Lord. And we're going to continue it today, and we're going to start once again with that eighth verse, and we've gotten ourselves down into the lower verses there, but we're going to enjoy it and just take our time. So please that you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading with verse 8. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to visit our website is Parkview Bible Church. .org. That's ParkviewBibleChurch.org. If you'd like to email us, it's ParkviewBible@gmail.com or ParkviewBibleChurch@gmail.com. Like to write to us, our post office box is 43 Hamilton, Illinois, 62341, and that'd just be Parkview Bible Church. And then also our phone number is 217-847-2717. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Once again, Matthew chapter 6, beginning to read with the 8th verse. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive men, not men, their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, or where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and manna. We're going to stop there with the precious reading of the Word. It's such a joy to be able to pour over the Word and just to read it and just listen to it. So, please, now, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start the study. Father, I just ask that you'll guide and lead us today. We thank you and praise you for the folks that have tuned in today to listen. I ask that they will listen to the words that are proclaimed, and I ask and pray that they would be your words, Father, just that I have spoken them, but it will be clearly the truth that folks will come to know your Son, the Lord Jesus, as he died on the cross to save all that will come to him. No one is exempt if they'll just call upon him. Father, what a precious, precious gift of love that you have shown. And I just ask today that through this study that people will find the salvation that you have so freely given. And then to grow us and to show us what's important. As we read through some of these verses of Scripture, lay not up yourself treasure upon earth. We need to know that. We need to know how and the way to fast. And just things, so many things that we need to know and understand each and every day to live a life that's pleasing to you. So please guide and lead us now through this time. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been down all the way through the 14th verse to the point that we've already said amen in verse 13. And so we've talked about the praising of the name, the lifting up of the name, the praising our God in all that we have and all that we do. And then thank Him for all the things that He gives us. And the condition of our heart as far as forgiving folks is concerned, what a wonderful opportunity that is. And now we look here at this 14th verse, and we've already started into it. But for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, we need to understand that we are to have the proper heart. And that would be a God-given heart. And the only way we can have that is if we are born again, if we come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. We should really give thought to forgive if we want to be forgiven. And so we need to understand that. It kind of sums it up a little bit in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And so if you would take the time to open your Bibles to that book, it is a wonderful opportunity that we have to study the Word of God. So we'll go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So if you find either one of those books, you're getting close. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 32, Ephesians 4, 32. And it tells us, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now there's something that is very necessary to remember. If you have come by faith to Jesus Christ and trusted in His precious shed blood as Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and was crucified, buried, and rose again 3 days later, if we understand that through that process, the Son of God has taken all of our sins and has forgiven us of those sins if we accept by faith that work, and if that's the truth, and if that is, and it is, it's correct, but if you have done it, that's the question. If you have, He has forgiven you of your sins, only if you've come by faith to Him. If you have never called, if you do not have that personal relationship, if you've never called upon Him for salvation, you just always went to church, you always thought it was fine, it's not. There is an opportunity and a time that you need to call upon the Lord Jesus for salvation. And so please, do that today. There is a personal relationship that you need to have with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that comes about when you recognize, when He convicts your sin and you recognize that you're a sinner. You're lost and there's no other way, no other way. And you call upon Him to save you, He will. And once that has taken place, then we need to understand that we too need to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us, as Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 tells us. What a wonderful verse of Scripture. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. Again, for if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It should be our goal as a believer to turn our enemies into our friends. And we can accomplish that by displaying forgiveness, Christ-like forgiveness, Christian forgiveness. It's so important. Be careful, my friend. Don't harbor malice and hatred. Don't have that in your mind all the time that I'm going to get even. One of these days, I am going to get even. When the question was asked, how many times do I need to forgive someone? The number was 70 times 7. And please don't count to where that comes to 490 times, because that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about you just always forgive. Now, if someone repeatedly hurts you, repeatedly steals from you, you need to stay away from them. This isn't giving anyone the right to use or abuse you. But if they continue to do that, we need to separate ourselves from them so that opportunity isn't there. And then we need to forgive them for what they're doing. We need to hate their sin, but we need to have a love for that sinner and pray for that sinner that they'll be saved, that they'll be born again. So we have those two verses together. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And it becomes a time of fellowship, a fellowship with your heavenly Father and a fellowship with others. And that fellowship is broken as a believer if you hold this malice or hatred or this get-even attitude that you have towards someone. Just expect then that your fellowship is broken from God. That doesn't mean you lose your salvation if you're saved, because you don't. But you can break that fellowship. And then we move on to verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Sums up right there concerning our worship with our God. We come together. We come together at church here, and we enjoy the Bible study at Sunday school class on Sunday morning, and we enjoy a time of fellowship over the singing of those beautiful old hymns, and then we also enjoy the preaching of the Word of God as the truth is taught, and we sit and listen and enjoy that. And we come back on Sunday night, and we enjoy the study, a verse-by-verse study of Scripture that we're in, and we study through a whole book, and so we enjoy that. And then we come back on Wednesday night, and we've got a wonderful ladies' Bible study at 1 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon, and they come together to do the same. They come together to study the Word of God and to learn more about the Lord Jesus. So we do come publicly, but we don't come together, or shouldn't anyway, come together to show off maybe our wisdom, you know, how much we know. Do we brag about what we know? Are we one to always answer all the time? And when we answer immediately, we don't let anybody else even kind of think about the question before we've blurted out the answer, because you see, we know so much. Now, that shouldn't be. We should not come together to do that. We should come together to learn and to listen and, yes, to participate. But also, we're here to see needs, to listen. Someone has a need, we can help and assist in some way. We need to know what that is, and we do that by listening, not by talking. And yes, to participate and to answer questions, but see that you give folks chance, other folks chance to do that too. Don't jump in right away. But here, this is talking about fasting. And so we've got this burden that, you know, we want somebody saved, or we've got a financial burden of sorts, and it's just really, you know, you're starting to bother us a little bit. So we thought, well, we'll just fast. And so we go around and we tell everybody that, you know, I have not had anything to eat for 2 days. I'm fasting. And I, you know, and then you come back, and I haven't eaten anything for 3 days. I'm fasting. And you, you know, tell everybody that you meet. And you've done it so long now that you're beginning to physically show the drawing in your cheeks and on your face. And so all of a sudden now, why, people are starting to see what you're doing, and they, oh my, that person sure is spiritual because they're fasting. Well, the Word of God's very clear about this. And when it says the hypocrites, it was talking about the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests and the scribes, folks that would come out and supposedly be obedient to fast, but the purpose was for an external worship, so to speak. It was for one reason and one reason only, and that was so that people could see what you were doing. And if you're doing it for that reason, you are wasting your time. God does not want us to be pitied or witnessed by man. Look at what they're doing. Same goes for anything that you do around the church. Why do you work around the church? Why do you do things so people can pat you on the back and be so appreciative of what you're doing, and they acknowledge it all the time. They announce it from the rooftops. Look what Joe's doing, or look what Sam's doing, or Fred's doing, or whatever it is. That's not the reason to do it. We should be in service for our God to see what we're doing, and it should be for His only acknowledgement and praise. We need to do it for His glory. Let's read this again, verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance. And on top of not only being disfigured, as the next section, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast, they also have this, oh my, oh me, oh my. And so people can really see that they are so religious. We are not to act in such a manner. We should do what we do for our God, for what He has done for us, not so that men can see. And so we need to say nothing. And when we fast, it needs to be that no one sees, and verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They'll have their pat on the back. They'll have their, oh, you're doing such a good job. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So we have something different here. So on that day that you decide to fast, for whatever the reason, and it needs to be a good reason. It needs to be something you're burdened about. Maybe it is somebody that you know, and you just, they're close, they're family, and they just have rejected the gospel, and they just don't want anything to do with it, and you just are so burdened. And it's not that you stop eating. The Old Testament fasting, they were told to fast and how to fast and things like that. Still not for man to see, but to fast. When we would choose to fast, it's not a decision that we need to make. It's just something we do. We are so burdened about this person or about this project or something that's going, we're so burdened about it that we don't even think about eating. We don't have any appearance of anything different. We just continue each day with what we do. And we're burdened about this, and we just don't think about eating. We're spending time in prayer, in our prayer closet, and we just don't, oh my, it's noon, we got to eat. But you see, we don't care because we have a burden for this soul or this project or whatever it might be that we are burdened about, and that burden comes to the point that we just don't even think about eating or drinking. We're in fellowship with our God about this, and so you can call it a fast if you want to, but it's not a scheduled fast. It's just something that happens because you're burdened about a person or a country or something that's going on, and it's you're really burdened about it. And when you're really burdened about it, you won't even think about eating. Now, that's fasting, but it's not, okay, I'm going to fast for 10 days. No. While you're burdened about this, you may not even think about it. That anointing their head, it's something that is private. It's something that comes. This fasting in this time period, in the dispensation of grace, a lot of people don't understand the importance of dispensations. We are, without question, this time, this dispensation, and we're in the time of grace, the New Testament church. There is no set appointed time or particular days or seasons for fasting in the New Testament. There isn't. We should live to be a Christian. Christianity is Christ in the believer 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. It's not something that comes and goes. It's not something that we do as they would celebrate their Passover and Pentecost and Day of Atonement and all those special feasts that they had. They would come together to celebrate those. Jesus has fulfilled the law in every way. He has satisfied all those feasts and those festivals, and we have no need any longer for the Passover or for Pentecost or any of those things because we are in the day of grace, the dispensation of grace, the New Testament church, the church age, if you want to call it. And so it's for us now to enjoy the day. And again, if you're burdened about somebody and you won't sit down and say, okay, I'm going to fast, it's just something that you do because you're so involved. Is that a good word? You're so taken by by the need that person has, this great need, and you're praying for them, you're lifting them up, and you may be at work, but you don't even think about food. You don't think about eating because you're so burdened and concerned about this certain person or thing. And when you do that, that's fasting, but it's not scheduled. It's not something that you decide so many days and then I'll quit. You're seeking the Lord's will. And when you really come to seek the Lord's will, then you don't many times have the thought for food. You see, I hope that you understand, they did it for the purpose that all mankind that would in the area would see them and, look how religious they are. No, it's a fellowship between me and myself and my God, between you and your God, and I hope that that God is Jehovah God. I hope that it's the Lord Jesus Christ has saved your soul. I hope that you've come to him today and been saved by him, and you begin this wonderful walk. You know, we have good Christmas, and you celebrate Christmas. You celebrate Easter, Resurrection Sunday, I like to call it. You know, we celebrate those times. But there really is to be no special days in a Christian's life. Because every day should be an exciting day. Every day should be a special day because Jesus saved me and took my sin away. We didn't have to wait for the Day of Atonement once a year to witness the high priest come and take the goat and cast the lots and choose which goat would be able to remain alive and the other one that would die, and then the one was put to death and the blood was caught, and the high priest would take that blood all the way in through the veil into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle it seven times. Everything had to be just so. And then he would come back out and he'd take those bloody hands and lay them up on the head of the live goat and confess all the sins of the nation of Israel. And then that goat would be led up into the hills, never to return again. What a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus. But you see, we have the Lord Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus has finished the work. And so there is not such a thing as a special day because every day is special. You know, we like to have special activities, and we have those here. But it should be, every day should be an exciting day to be a Christian, to walk each day. So, you see, as we find here, the purpose is a relationship between ourselves and our God. That starts the day you meet Jesus as your Savior. And then it continues and it grows and grows and grows. It's wonderful. But nobody else needs to see. Oh, if you want to share with someone, I'm so burdened about this person. I'd love to see them saved. Would you pray for them? That's wonderful. But when the time comes that you become so burdened that you forget to eat, the Old Testament would, you know, what's the value in that when nobody sees? Well, there's great value. Look at this. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. In other words, be prepared. It's a normal day. Clean up, and that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. There's a reward there. Now let's look back up to verse 16. It says, verily unto you they have their reward. In other words, the pat on the back, the acknowledgement. They have their reward. And if you have folks in your church or folks you know that seem like they always get the glory, they're the ones that always get the pat on the back, and nobody acknowledges what you do, my dear friend, God knows what you're doing. And that's the only one that you need to please. Don't worry about man. And that one that's getting all the praise here, that's probably all the praise he'll get, he or she. Because come time to go home, if they're saved, they've already got their praise, their reward, as the scripture says. Oh, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?